morning, Grinders. Welcome back. It's Sunday. We're here at the Weekend Grind Podcast, brought to you by Roto Grinders. I'm Josh Sir Giant, as always, with my co-host, Travis Mr. Chalk Mangone. Travis, happy Sunday, man. How you doing?
Good. Excited for another MLB slate, man. Definitely, Angels gave me a little scare yesterday. They were not doing anything for a while, but they ended up coming through with 7 runs in the extra. So stack of the day, I ended up getting it done. So pretty happy about that. But how was your Sunday?
Yeah, my Saturday was good. It's Sunday now, Travis, but my Saturday was good.
Oh, yeah, your Saturday, sorry.
No, it's okay. I know we record these at the wee hours in the morning, so, bear with us a little bit. But, it was good. I mean, I missed out on all the Minnesota fun. I know that you had some Escobar in your lineup. The guy went absolutely berserk. Kind of seemed like it was a must-have in your lineups, that, you know, if you want to do more than min cash, right?
Yeah, it was what. Yeah, he ended up kind of getting my lineup. I think I mentioned on the podcast. I was just like, I randomly throughout the podcast. I was just like, kind of like the whole pause and said, you know, the twin stack is pretty good. They're kind of expensive, but they make a lot of sense here. And like listed off all the price tags in the whole lineup and just talked about how expensive they were and how people might not play them because of that. So, yeah, that was pretty good actually. I ended up getting some twins exposure, so no complaints there. Escobar ended up falling in my lineup, so that was good.
Yeah. Now September baseball is not some of our favorite times when it comes to DFS. You know, lots of call ups. There's certain ways to maneuver around it, but you know, football's right around the corner. And with that, we have kind of a bittersweet announcement to make. This is going to be our last Sunday for MLB on the Weekend Grind. We really appreciate you guys listening and sticking with us every weekend and listening both days. And we know that, you guys definitely make it worth it for us to make sure we get all these podcasts done on the weekend. And there's still going to be MLB content on Roto Grinders. You can still check out all the, you know, if you have incentives or check out any of the free content, still going to be up there. But unfortunately, this is going to be the last Sunday for MLB that we'll be doing the Weekend Grind. But the good news is football's right around the corner, so that's going to be fun. We'll still be here on Saturdays with you guys to cover the MLB action. And when basketball comes back, we'll be doing the full weekend for you guys. Once again, we'll be doing Saturdays and Sundays once the NBA is back. So that's not too far away. But like I said, really appreciate you guys sticking with us. And you can always follow us on Twitter and stay in touch with us. You can follow me on Twitter at Real Joshua Giant. That's at Real Joshua Giant. You can follow Travis at Travis Mangone. That's at Travis Mangone. Always feel free to interact with us and shoot over any questions or comments and any advice that you might want as far as, like, you know, figuring out DFS if you're, you know, new to NFL or anything like that, or if you're trying to figure out how to handle these MLB slates in September. We're more than happy to help you guys. But so that's it for that. But we're looking at this bittersweet slate as well. It's a strange slate. And the slates are split up differently. You have two different slates. Like on FanDuel, it's a 9-game slate. On DraftKings, it's an 11-game slate. DraftKings is actually has the two highest run total games on their slate. FanDuel does not have them. The game at Coors and the game in Texas are both on the DraftKings slate, but not on the FanDuel slate. So as we're covering the analysis for you guys, we'll make sure we make clear which guys are on which slates, on which sites. Very site-specific analysis today. But, yeah, I think with that, we could hop into the pitching. What do you think, Travis?
Yep, sounds like a plan to me. Yeah, just keep in mind I think it's the Coors and the Angels game, the two hot weather, like, best hitting environments are on the DraftKings slate, not the FanDuel. So definitely different ways to attack it, for sure.
Yep. All right, so let's hop into the pitching here now. Pitching is kind of ugly on the slate. There's no other way to say it. It's not a fun slate for pitching. Top of the list, we have Ervin Santana. He's the most expensive pitcher going against Kansas. When you're looking at Ervin Santana and he's the most expensive option you have, that definitely rings some bells, you know, for you. It definitely puts up some red flags. But so I think what we should do is we should talk about who our favorite pitchers are that we're looking at and then kind of go from there. So for me, it's a pretty clear option where I'm going to go. I'm really interested in having some Mike Fiers tomorrow. And Vegas agrees with me. They think that he's in a great spot. If you look at these Vegas numbers, the Astros are a -230 favorite on the money line. Even with the 9.5 run total, the Mets only have an implied run total of 3.6. They've been rolling out some really ugly lineups. It's just, I know, Travis, I'm sorry. Like, rest in peace to your Mets. I know that, you know, you're a huge Mets fan, but they've been putting out some terrible lineups, man. And, like, you have to take advantage of these kinds of things later in the season when teams are just kind of putting out YOLO lineups and I don't care lineups. This is what's going on for the Mets. And Michael Fire is, you know, he has the strikeout upside. We've seen him put up some big games. Good sample sizes, and these are the numbers. 23.5% strikeout rate against righties, 21.5% against lefties, 7.7% walk rate. You know, his ground balls are pretty solid. You know, his fly balls stay in that low 30% range. And his Sierra, 3.45 against righties and 4.03 against lefties. He's probably, in my opinion, the best option on the slate, and he's not overly expensive, so it's not like he's going to cost too much. He's 9.1 on DraftKings, and on FanDuel, you can get him for 8.1. Really like his price tag there, too. Just give me a bunch of Mike Fires tomorrow. That's when I'm looking at all these other pitchers, it just makes me want to play him more. What do you think, Travis?
Man, this is a tough pitching slate. Can I pass? Is there you know, a pass button? Can I move on? It's definitely not easy, but you know, there's an edge to be had, right? Because people may make some poor decisions, and I think Mike Fires is the guy, right? Like -230 favorite. The Mets are terrible. It's okay, Josh. Yeah, they're an awful team. I understand, and you couldn't sell me this product, so they're just not a good product to watch right now. I mean, it's just an ugly lineup. We talk about Sunday lineups, right? When you know, teams put out lesser lineups. Like, I don't know what the Mets could put out to make a lesser lineup, but I think Mike Fires is probably the guy you want. Like, he's the best pitching option, and I don't know, maybe one of those slates where you just kind of like don't get cute and play him and then just move on. But you know, obviously salary is a thing, but he's got a pretty good price tag, 8.1k on FanDuel, 9.1k on DraftKings. Definitely a huge fan. And of course, if you're playing a slate like DraftKings, you have to play a second pitcher, which makes it even harder. Definitely, you know, Mike Fires is the favorite guy for me. I think there's two other guys who are pretty interesting, and I think you could debate about, obviously, like, Detroit's lineup is terrible, right? Since they've traded Justin Upton, it's gotten even worse. Josh Tomlin, coming back, I think Josh Tomlin is someone that we can, like, talk about here. I mean, it makes a ton of sense against a team, like, just like I said, like the Tigers. That lineup is really, really bad. The problem is this is, like, first start in a month. So, like, you know, that's one thing I'm always worried about. We'll have to see if there's, like, a pitch count and whatnot and, you know, see what they're thinking. I'm sure we'll get some of that news in the morning. But, you know, Josh Tomlin's got a pretty good Sierra this year against lefties. 3.81 against righties, 3.41. Just, like, the K percentage is rough. Right? It's 19.8% and 17.1%. So you don't feel like you're not getting tons of strikeouts, but the walk percentage is great. 2.7 against righties, 2.4 against lefties. I think it's one of those spots where, like, just like we're not going to see Josh Tomlin really destroy himself because he's not going to walk a ton of batters. He gets an ugly lineup. It just seems like a guy who could pitch pretty efficiently and maybe get some Ks throughout the way. I don't hate Josh Tomlin here as well. You know, Tigers have a terrible, like, run line, 3.94. Like, I mean, this just seems like an interesting spot. You know, no Miguel Cabrera. Like, it's just Nick Castellanos and, like, Eakins are the two guys I'm really worried about. So what's your take on going a guy like Josh Tomlin against the Tigers?
You know, I think I just have some kind of negative name recognition here at Tomlin because, man, he was a guy we used to target and pick hitters against. But looking at the numbers for this season, as you said, they're pretty solid and good sample size too. If we were just looking at the numbers and you blacked out his name for me, I would definitely have interest in him on the slate. So I think with the slate being this ugly and lacking the depth that we do at pitching, Josh Tomlin is an option, very viable option too. The problem is, like you said, he's coming off an injury. We don't know if he's going to be on a pitch count, and you're not getting him particularly cheap. I mean, he's 9.5K on DraftKings, and on FanDuel, he's 8.5K, second most expensive pitcher over there. So it's not like we're getting him cheap. They definitely adjusted his price to the matchup. I don't feel comfortable paying these price tags for him, and that's the issue I'm having is as I come into roster construction, it's like I don't want to play this price tag for him, but who else do you play is the question. So you said there was another guy that you were thinking about. Who else are you looking at, Travis?
He's not the only one. There's another one, though. There's another guy that's also catching my eye. There's some, but Like, I'm trying to make something out of nothing. It's one of those things, Josh, that I'll just probably keep making something out of nothing the more I look at guys, right? But can I sell you on Edwin Jackson? Let me give you the sell first. So we get the Milwaukee Brewers. They strike out a ton, right? So that's interesting already. You know, he's a cheaper guy, too. You have to play, you know, you might have to play a cheap SP, so why not the Edwin Jackson? He's a guy with a Sierra against righties. A 4.58 against lefties, 3.96, which isn't that bad. I mean, the strikeouts aren't really, you know, where you'd want it to be necessarily, right? 14.4% and 17.3 against lefties. But, you know, getting ground ball rates in like the 40%, I think he's a guy that can maybe just like get you there. And it's just a Milwaukee team that, I don't know, we've seen them put out some bad lineups on Sundays. It's going to depend on what the lineup looks like, I think. I think that's like really going to be key with what Milwaukee could do. But I don't know, is there any interest in Edwin Jackson? He's a guy that was like supposed to be a really good pitcher, and he's been a lot better recently. Maybe he's kind of figured it out. I don't know. Like, if you look at the numbers, he hasn't been, you know, as bad as you would think, like we think with the Edwin Jackson name, right? You know, we got the start against Miami, 37 FanDuel points. Then against Houston, obviously. Houston's a good team, and, you know, they only 19. But then against the Padres, 40. Against the Giants, 40. These are teams that are not, like, San Diego and the Giants that are not that great. And, like, I mean, Milwaukee's, they can either be really good or really bad. So if we get the bad Milwaukee, we could see like a 35-point FanDuel game for Edwin Jackson here, I think. So what do you think about Edwin Jackson?
You know, what concerns me about Edwin Jackson is the fact that he's a fly ball pitcher, especially against righties. 38.5% fly ball rate against righties, and, you know, in Miller. So, and this is a tough spot for him as far as the park goes, and these Milwaukee bats do have a lot of pop, so we could see some of these fly balls just start sailing over the wall against him, and he could get himself into trouble pretty quickly. He's not a guy I feel comfortable rostering. I could understand like your point, and I think that, like I said, with the depth lacking on the slate, you have to go somewhere. So you can make a case for anyone here. You know, it's that bad of a slate for pitching that almost any of these pitchers you could try to make a case for, and it just doesn't feel comfortable going there for me. But I could, like I said, I could understand why you would want to go there. I don't think it's a terrible play. I don't think it's a great play either.
Yeah, the first thing that came to my mind when you said that about, you know, the fly ball is that meme where the guy goes, you know, you can't do this without doing that. So like, you can, I was just thinking, you know, that you can't hit a fly ball, Josh, without hitting the ball in the bat. So I don't know, if we get the bad Milwaukee, man, like, we could, like I said, it depends on what the lineup is, and it's more of like, you need to understand the risk with him. And if Milwaukee is missing the ball, like, it's not going out of the park, Josh. I don't care if he's a fly ball pitcher, right? And also, it's a terrible slate, right? And just the K percentage is like so high against Milwaukee. I think there's opportunity here. Who else are you playing at? But I get it. It seems like one of those slates where maybe you just, say you're playing 10 lineups, you just play 5 Josh Tomlin, 5 Mike Fiers, and move on. I mean, that's an idea too. There's also Irvin Santana. I don't want to sleep on him. He's a guy that I think I have a little bit of bias towards, and I hate playing. And if you look at the game log, right, Josh, like, if I told you, you know, if you look at the last 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, like 8 starts here, right? 29 FanDuel points, 58, 34, 27, 37, 46, and 42. Would you sign up for one of those performances here? Like, that's how bad it is, right? Like, would you sign up for one of those performances? You know, in the last 8 starts, that's pretty good. And he gets a matchup against the Royals. Problem is, Royals don't strike out a ton. So that's definitely, you know, something to be concerned about. What about Irvin Santana?
You know, I get it. I think that he's probably, like, if he didn't, here's the thing. If he didn't cost $11K on DraftKings, it would be way easier to just say, okay, just go Irvin Santana and go Fiers, and then work around that, you know. And I think that might be a route that I'm going to go as I'm building the rosters, just because, like I said, this pitching is so ugly. I think that you could just go Santana and Fiers, and then pick some cheap bats. But 11K is a very steep price tag to pay. And again, I think that these sites are getting a lot better at pricing players based on like specific matchups, and I think that this is a good example of that. On FanDuel, he's 9.6 and Fiers is 8.1. You only got to play one of them. I'd rather just play Fiers, but if I have to play two, I could understand playing the two of them together. Like, because where else do you go for SP2 is the question. That's exactly what we're talking about right now. and we're mentioning Santana this deep into the analysis, you know, and that's like, that just shows that how, like, we were reaching, and then we end up right back here at Santana again, right? So maybe the way to go is just play Santana and play Fierce together on FanDuel, because that's literally probably the best options you're going to get, and then it's a huge drop after the two of them. And on FanDuel, just play Fires, right?
Yeah, I disagree with that. Because I think this is a good conversation to have, right? People would say, oh, well, these are the two best pitchers and I should just play them and move on. But then, like, you're not getting the good bats, right? And there's so many bad pitchers. I'd rather just have the good bats and I'd rather just kind of, because it's not like Erwin Santana is safe. It's not like I have like Kershaw and Max Scherzer and then all these bums, right? I have Erwin Santana, Mike Fiers, like, and you know, Josh Tomlin, and then all these bums, right? So it's just guys that I really don't want to roster. I'd rather just take my chance with like a cheaper guy so I'm able to get in the bats and help the bats win me the slate. Because I think that's what's going to have to happen. I think the bats are going to be what wins you the slate, right? It's not the pitching that's going to get the job done, in my opinion. But I don't know. We've also some other guys. Like, is there anyone else that gets your interest? Like, are you interested in Matt Andrees, Mike Montgomery, Trevor Williams, Brett Anderson, Jose Urena? Any of these guys have any interest for you? Or what are you thinking about the other pitchers?
I wanted to like Urena, but then I looked at his numbers and I didn't want to like him anymore. You know, like, it's just like I don't feel comfortable about a lot of these pitchers, and it's like, it's not like, oh, like they just don't have the most upside in the spot. It's like, no, these guys can literally give you negative points and destroy your whole day and destroy your whole
slate. But all these pitchers every pitcher can, Josh. You have to go in, I think, to the mindset of,
not Fiers, man. Fiers ain't getting negatives against your Mets. Come on, Travis.
All right, like, he's the one guy, but I mean, you're telling me a guy can't get negative when the guy just got a negative against Texas, so I don't know. I don't know. I get it, right? The Mets still go out there and get a paycheck too. They're not the best, but yeah, I still think this pitching slate there is no safety, in my opinion, on this slate. But yeah, the safest guy is Mike Fiers. I get it, but you know, he's also pretty expensive, right? Like, say I want to play two stack, like, right? Like, say I'm on DraftKings and I want to load up on Coors, Josh. I probably can't play Mike Fiers. So, I don't know. I just think it's one of those things where it's the pitching isn't as important, and it's more about the bats and helping them kind of win you the slate. Just that's my thought on it. Here's another guy.
I found my guy, and it's probably the same guy you were about to say. How about Matt? Are you going to say Matt Andreessy?
No, I get the reason to play him. It's stream against the White Sox. Like, that's the reasoning.
But he's got pretty solid strikeout numbers, too. I mean, 20% against righties, 22% against lefties. So, I mean, the numbers are there. And if you look at the last two seasons sample size, it jumps up a little bit, but still around that 20% mark. So, I mean, these are real numbers that he has. And I think 20% against a team that strikes out a ton. You know, the park downgrade is the only issue, but...
Yeah, I mean, I don't hate him. It's definitely rough after, you know, them just hit around Archer. It kind of is hard to stomach. But, yeah, I mean, I don't hate him, right? It's like any of these bad, like, new lineups that they've, like, traded all their players away, like, is definitely, like, something to consider. No, so he's not the guy I was thinking of. So there's one more guy that, like, is – maybe not just one more. I think there's two more. You can – yeah, two more because I forgot about him. There's two more guys I think I have that are interesting. The one – I don't love the matchup. That's kind of the debate for me. I don't know what I hate when I get this matchup, but he's in a pitcher's park. Sal Romano, look at his like last couple games. They've been pretty good. I know that the numbers, like if you look at any of the advanced numbers, they're not the greatest, but I don't know. He's done decent lately. I mean, it's, I don't know. Sierra's in like the mid fours, strikeout rate, high teens, you know, walks are kind of high though. And it's like a team like Pittsburgh that doesn't really strike out against righty. So it's kind of tough for me to really stomach. It was one of those things I was just like looking at the game log and I was like, yeah, maybe I could stomach it and find a way. But, you know, he had a performance right against like a team like the Mets where he ended up doing well. And I don't know, like I said, I'm trying to find like something out of nothing. That's kind of the issue. The other guy I was talking about is Lucas Giolito. He's a young prospect that, you know, got traded from Washington over to the Chicago White Sox, and he's going to be getting a lot of running here in September. He's interesting, right? He gets a team like Tampa Bay, who is, you know, we definitely don't want to like target Tampa Bay. They have a 5.05 run total, but the strikeout upside is there. So I don't know. It's just like a question. Would you play Lucas Giolito? I get it, right? It's concerning, but he's super cheap. And, you know, he's just playing a team that strikes out a ton. And I just don't think it's as terrible of an option. What do you think about Giolito as like a cheap SP that, you know, has some upside?
Yeah, I get it. And Travis, it's like hard to agree or disagree on any of these guys just because the slate's so bad, you know, with the pitching. So I think what we should do is just kind of just go over who our top three plays are each. We could do four just because it's so shallow. I feel like maybe the top four plays is the best way to do it. What do you think of that? Like, let's do, all right, how about we do this? Let's do our top two plays on FanDuel and top three plays on DraftKings for pitching.
Are you sure you don't want to dig into Fangraphs on Chad Bell and like Max Fried and some Ian Kennedy? You're good? You don't want to dig into this anymore, Josh?
I feel like it's just going to get worse as we go.
Yeah, I know. I'm totally just kidding with you. Obviously, it's not a, it sounds terrible to do, but yeah, I think this is a slate, right? Like, for the most part, I kind of like to keep it simple at pitcher and not really get too crazy. I mean, if there's like a guy I see that's ever low owned in a tournament that I think has upside, I'll like to like kind of go home. But I think this is a slate where I'm just gonna try and win with my bats and make my pitcher be pretty simple and just play one of the better pitchers I see, right? And like a Fires, right? I'm just gonna keep a tight core at pitcher. It's not one of those days where I'm playing, if you're playing like, you know, so you're playing like 20 lineups, so like a 20 entry max. I'm probably going to just keep my core tight. So that's kind of the way I say it. But yeah, Josh, give me your top three or four, however many pitchers you want on this slate.
All right. So on FanDuel, my top pitchers are going to be Irvin Santana and Mike Fiers. You know, super boring, but whatever. But on DraftKings specifically, obviously Mike Fiers is going to be the top play there for me as well. But I'll also throw Josh Tomlin on the list, and I think that Matt Andresi for 6.6K is an SP2. He's my favorite SP2 on DraftKings. I think if I go Fiers and Andresi, I could get a bunch of these big bats in. And the cool thing about that is on the DraftKings slate is we have those two highest run total games, the game in Texas and the game at Coors. So if I go with that Fiers and Andresi combo, I could pretty much stack up those bats and load up on bats. So that's where I'm going to go. And I do think there's some merit to Santana, but I think I'm just going to keep a lot of Fiers in Andresi and work around that. So how about you, Travis? Who are your top on each site?
Yeah, I think for me it's going to be I'll go with Josh Tomlin, Mike Fiers, Irvin Santana, and then I'll go with Edwin Jackson. Why not? He's I like to strike out upside against Milwaukee, so that's kind of the route I think I'm going to take.
All right, awesome. Anything else you want to mention about pitching here?
No, that's about it.
All right, so with that, we're going to move on to the bats now. We're going to go look at some of these hitters that we have on the slate. And as always, we start with the catcher position. Now, catcher is a spot that's very it's very important on Sundays that you check to see who's in the lineup because a lot of catchers get rest on Sundays. So while some of these starting catchers, these normal starting catchers, might be in a fantastic spot, we don't have any guarantee that they're going to be in the lineup, so make sure you go ahead and check the lineup. On Sundays, I usually just go, I mean, honestly, not even just on Sundays, like a lot of days I'll just go to catcher last or just try to fill in my stack and find some cheap power out of my catcher. So yeah, with that, that's about how deep I go on catcher. Sometimes there's plays that jump off the page at you, but most of the time it's just kind of filling up that lineup correlation and putting that last piece of the puzzle together. So yeah, looking at catcher on this slate, not a whole lot to be crazy in love with. We have Miguel Montero going against Chris Tillman in Baltimore. I think that he's in play, 3.5K on DraftKings, and you could get him on FanDuel for 2.5. So, you know, get him nice and cheap across the industry. Good matchup against Tillman, struggles against lefties in a hitter's park. So definitely interest there. Brian McCann against Chris Flexen. I think that he's in play as long as he's in the lineup. 3.9 on DraftKings is a bit too steep for me, but I think on FanDuel, I think he's about 2.7 on FanDuel. Let me just make sure.
Yeah, he's 2.7.
Yeah, see, like for that price tag, I think it's a lot more reasonable over there for relative cap sizing. Steven Vaught, I know as much as you're talking about how you like Edwin Jackson, I think that if he's in the lineup, he's in play. He's 2.7 on DraftKings, so you're getting a great discount on him. And on FanDuel, he's only 2.3, so nice cheap power there in the lineup. Sir Rene Rivera hit a grand slam this slate. I don't think I'm going to touch him here, but I just I think maybe if you want to put together some Cub stacks, he's a guy you could look at if he's in the lineup. Miss Wilson Contreras, man, because this would be a great matchup for him at home against the lefty. But he's not around. On the flip side of that matchup, though, Kurt Suzuki for 3.4K on DraftKings hits lefties really well, and I think that he'll continue to do so in this matchup. And as much as I like Montgomery, Montgomery has good get people out stuff, good efficient stuff, good ground ball pitcher. I think that for these price tags, he's good. Suzuki is 2.9 in FanDuel too, so you get him nice and cheap. And then if we're looking at the DraftKings slates, I think Chirinos is in play to complete your Texas stacks if you want to do some wraparound stacks. Hits lefties pretty well. I know Heaney's a nice strikeout upside guy, but you put any of these pitchers in Texas in this hitting environment that they've had lately, or you know, especially this time of year, it's not safe to play him. So, and Heaney does have some home run issues, and Chirinos has some good pop in his bat against lefties, so he's in play as well. But that's where I'm at catcher. How about you, Travis?
It's not the greatest, right? I agree with you. Like fill this position last. We're getting up to football season, right? It's kind of like the kicker. You throw in the guy last and call it a day. But yeah, Miguel Montero, I think him against Chris Tillman makes sense. So he's a guy I would definitely love to play. He's been crushing the ball pretty recently. Maybe a guy like Brian McCann. I think McCann's a good way to go. Astros have a pretty high implied run total at 5.85. So that's something I have interest in for sure here. It's one of those spots where it's like, the question is if I'm playing Fires, then I'm playing Brian McCann on a site like FanDuel where I can only play four Astros. Do I want to waste a spot on Brian McCann with like just all the Astros exposure I might want to get with that implied run total being so high? But it's one of those things like be on the lookout for lineups. Definitely very important on us because, you know, we get different catchers that go out there and sometimes we get 2K punts where it just makes the rest of our lineup work. And you're like, okay, this guy's 2K and he's got some pop. Maybe he can hit me a home run, and you throw him in there and then, you know, he hits you one. And that's a huge edge to get that 2K home run. So, yeah, it's one of those things I definitely focus on Sundays is looking for that cheap guy if I can, or if unless there's a guy that really sticks out as like a must play. But right now there's not someone that's sticking out as like the must play. And well, just depends on lineup spots too and where people get put in the spots. But yeah, that's about it for me for catcher. Josh, we can move on to first right away just because it's I don't want to waste too much time here. I think it's one of those things where we have to evaluate in the morning once we get the lineups.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. So we'll go to the nice loaded position of first base. Always where you're going to get a ton of options to pick from. So, Travis, kick us off here at first base.
First base is a pretty good spot. Obviously, your boy, Justin Smokeman, him against Chris Tillman makes a ton of sense. Wouldn't hate playing him here in this spot. It just is a good spot for him. Then you get like Edwin Encarnacion. He's priced up, but he gets a spot against Chad Bell. Definitely could see him hit one out here, definitely don't hate that. You can go to a guy like Freddie Freeman. He's getting a lefty though. That's the only thing. He's been kind of hurt, so he's a guy I've been staying away from. Haven't been a huge fan of. I want to like Gurriel, but he was out of the lineup for the second game of the doubleheader because of a knee. But he would make a ton of sense here against a guy like Flexen. Definitely have interest in him, but I don't know if I'm going to get. I don't know if I'm going to get him in the lineups. So that's kind of something that. Definitely concerned about. And also Kendrys Morales, he's another guy that you can definitely have interest in. But I think Justin Smoke is like probably the guy to go to here, right? Against Chris Tillman, it just makes a ton of sense. He's probably my favorite option. What about you, Josh? Who's your first baseman you like?
You know, as much as I love my free smoke, and I certainly think that he's in play here, definitely a top play on the slate. I think I'm going to have a lot of Ryan Zimmerman on this slate. Guy just absolutely mashes lefties, and he gets a good matchup here against Suter in a good hitter's park. It's a huge park upgrade for these Washington bats, and there's a few guys in this lineup that hit lefties really well that I'm going to want to have exposure to. You know, Zimmerman, 311 ISO and 405 WOBA, 304 BABIP here. This is an incredible spot, and Suter gives up a nice, healthy 319 WOBA, 155 ISO to righties. I think this is a good spot here for Zimmerman to be one of those guys that almost breaks the slate, you know, have one of those double dong days for him. I mean, I know that's not the most that's like one of those bold prediction things, but I think that if you put me against a chalky to make a decision between a chalky Justin Smoke or like, you know, a lower owned Ryan Zimmerman, I'm going to take Zimmerman every time, especially against a lefty in Milwaukee. I really love the park upgrade and I love the matchup that he has here. And I'm not afraid of Milwaukee's bullpen either. So this is definitely a good spot, I think, for Ryan Zimmerman. He's going to be my favorite play.
Yeah, so definitely don't hate that, right? Zimmerman against a lefty, so he makes some sense here. So yeah, I mean, I definitely get me some Zimmerman exposure. I think it's a spot where I'm not really going to pay up. I think this mid-tier is really where you want to live, right? Like going to Zimmerman, the Smoke, even a guy like Duda.
against Giolito. He's been smashing the ball recently, so only him. Edwin Jackson's a guy you can go Eric Thames against. That makes some sense. So there's guys in the mid tier. I think it's just a spot where you want to kind of live there, and it just makes a ton of sense to do that. So that's kind of, I think, how I'm going to approach the first base position. Not going to pay up there. I'll just go in the mid tier and kind of move on from there. What about you, Josh?
Yeah, and I think on DraftKings, if you want to get exposure to these high-scoring games, I think Pujols is in a good spot. CJ Cron hits lefties really well, always has throughout his career in the minors as well. And Mike Napoli against Heaney on the other side of that matchup. It's a lefty-lefty matchup here. Both these, you know, so all three of these first basemen in this game, they hit first lefties pretty well. Probably going to fade the Joey Gallo play at a high price tag against another lefty, but that's but those are the three guys I think I'll have interested in if you're playing on DraftKings. On FanDuel, though, yeah, you know, Zimmerman and Smoke are going to be the two guys for me. So, all right, so let's move on to second base now. Second base is another position where, you know, you kind of just got to keep correlating to where you want to go. I think that for me, like, you know, Travis, I'm looking at this DraftKings slate and looking at the scores game, and these bats really aren't popping off the page for me as much as I would like them to, even with this high run total. So, you know, you want to look elsewhere and try to find, I guess, better spots. Howie Kendrick is second base eligible on DraftKings. I'm going to have a ton of Howie Kendrick tomorrow. Absolutely mashes lefties. Keep on track with that correlation to that Zimmerman play. Another guy who hits lefties well. And, you know, again, that park upgrade is huge. So that's going to be a lot of interest for me. But on FanDuel, if we're looking for second baseman, I think there's a few places we could look, and I think that one of them is going to be D. Gordon against Jake Thompson. I think that he's a fine play. I think Jose Ramirez against Chad Bell, I think he's going to be a very good play tomorrow. He's probably going to be one of the chalky plays, but that's fine with me. I think that he's worth it. Jose Altuve, if I have the money against Chris Flexen, obviously I'm going to go there. Keep that correlation to the Houston bats and try to get some stock in them. And last but not least, I think that Brian Dozier is in play here. Even after that huge 17-run game that these Twins put up, Dozier gets the leadoff spot again against Ian Kennedy. He gives up a ton of hard contact to righties, so Dozier is going to be another guy I'll have a ton of interest in. Just not a lot of spots to like save on second base here. So it sounds like, you know, as I'm looking around here, it sounds like we're going to have to pay up. So wherever you pay up, I think you should make sure that it just correlates to your lineups. So for me, it's going to be like Altuve, Dozier. On DraftKings, Howie Kendrick, I'll probably try to slide him into that second base spot so I open up some outfield eligibility for myself. But yeah, that's where I'm at second base. How about you, Travis?
Yeah, definitely not a spot that I want to pay down at. It's like a pay-up spot for me. Dozier and Altuve make a ton of sense. They're two guys I love here. Wouldn't sleep on Jonathan Scope, too, against a lefty. That makes a ton of sense here. And then who's the guy? Oh, man, I'm blanking here. Oh, Ian Happ. So I kind of want to mention this now. Looking at this Max Fried guy's numbers. So this year in the majors, he's got his K to walk percentage is -6.1%, which is interesting. That's at least in the majors. He hasn't like pitched, fully. I'm sure it's going to be like a bullpen type game for them, but Triple A to like a 20K percentage. But the key is we don't have their run total out yet. So, no run total, but the wind looks like it's going to be blowing out 8 miles an hour. It's not blowing out completely, but it looks like it's blowing out to right field a little bit. So, we could see this like Cubs run line come out and just be like, 5.5 or 6, and then like everyone jumps on them, right? Or it could come out really late and people don't jump on them in time. So I wanted to mention, like, don't sleep on the Cubs, right? Like, don't sleep on an Anthony Rizzo. I know he's 4.9K against the lefty, but he can hit lefties well. If you have the money, go for it. But Ian Happ, I don't hate here, right? He can hit the ball, and he can hit a ton of fly balls and whatnot. And so I think Ian Happ is someone definitely to consider here for cheaper, but maybe more so in a Cubs stack. I don't think I'd be taking Ian Happ one-offs, but just kind of wanted to note that. I think the Cubs are someone that, maybe it's like kind of like the Twins yesterday, something that you know, I it catches my eyes. I'm looking at things and I go, oh, don't sleep on the Cubs because they're a team that, you know, we don't have the run total out yet. So and with the wind blowing out, and it could be, you know, wind could even change even more out. It's not totally out. And if it just like shifts a little bit, it could help it even more. So I just didn't want to forget that. But I think second base is a great payup spot. I mean, Dozier and Altuve are like the one and two for me. And then I'll say Scope is my three and I'll put Happ as my four. It's not a position I love completely. There's not a lot of guys that I'm like going all in on. Maybe get a little exposure to Jose Ramirez too against Chad Bell if you want some Indians exposure, but it's not really a pay down spot for me. It's a spot I want to pay up. What about you, Josh?
Yeah, same thing. Just going to pay up. Like I said, really, really like the safety that the second baseman offer at the higher price tiers. I'm not going to be punting anywhere unless something comes out in the lives tomorrow where it's like an obvious spot, like a guy that's basically free that's like leading off in a good matchup. Maybe we'll talk about it, but this is where we're at right now, and we can only work with what we got right now, so that's what we got right now. But that's why it's important you guys follow us on Twitter so you can shoot over any questions and see, you know, where our process goes throughout the roster construction for the roster construction throughout the day as lineups come out. But yeah, so let's move on to the hot corner here, Travis. Another loaded position, and I'll toss this one over to you. Go ahead, kick us off at third base.
Yeah, so I just talked about the Cubs a little bit, and then I get Chris Bryant against a lefty. Like, that makes sense. Just because you have the money, right? That's kind of the problem. I don't know. I think we have the money with the pitching, but, you know, it depends where you're paying up and whatnot. But I think he's interesting. Definitely a fan of Alex Bregman. People just don't want to play him for this price tag. I don't know if that'll change on this slate because maybe the Astros gain some traction, but, you know, playing Alex Bregman, he's a guy who's been crushing the ball recently. Batted ball distance of 240 and, you know, exit velocity of 92. He's a guy that's been just crushing the ball. So, you know, like him in this spot. If you get FanDuel, if you get Yandy Diaz in the lineup for 2.2K, that's a value option that you can go. And I wouldn't hate that, obviously. He's a guy that you should have some interest in for sure, I think. So if you need to go cheap, that's where you go. But I think, you know, paying up for a guy like Chris Bryant is someone I'm definitely going to have interest in. Then you get Manny Machado against a lefty like Brett Anderson. I think that's a good route you can go. And then Josh Donaldson against Chris Tillman. I know, you know, we're always like team Donaldson against a lefty. I don't know if he got his home run against Wade Miley last night, but he hit one yesterday, and he's been a guy just been crushing the ball recently. So I like him in this spot. I think he's a guy that you could definitely have some interest in. And if you want to mix in some of these twins, right, you know, Eduardo Escobar, he's 3K on FanDuel specifically. You know, he had a huge game yesterday. You know, you could easily go back to the well on him here. And I think against a fly ball pitcher like Ian Kennedy, if you're stacking up the twins, don't hate that. But yeah, another spot where I think it's a nice pay up spot for me, and I think that's what kind of the route I'm going to end up taking, going a guy like Bregman or like Chris Bryant. They seem like my one and two. And then yeah, if you get this Yandy Diaz guy, man, he's a guy, I don't know if you've seen him, but Josh, he looks jacked. I don't know if he'll be in the lineup. It's against a lefty, so it's possible. But yeah, if you can get him for cheap, I like that if you need a salary saver. But I think it's a spot, another position where we kind of want to pay up. Am I correct?
Yeah. Again, I'm going to pay up. I really like Rendon here. I think that he's a great play. Chris Bryant against the lefty, as you mentioned, I think that he's a good play. You know, third, I think Bregman, again, like you said, another guy people don't want to pay up for some reason, but I think that he's totally worth it. And I've been playing him, and it's been working out when I get him in there. So I think that he's definitely a guy. He just doesn't have, like, one of those, like, sexy names or whatever, you know, so to speak, where people see his name and they're like, oh yeah, I want to play this guy. And I think sometimes he does get lost in the sauce of that Houston lineup just because there's so many big bats to look at. But these numbers have just been outstanding this season for him. You know, 185 ISO, 335 WOBA, 291 BABIP. Like, you know, he's doing a good job, and his strikeout rate is nice and low at 16.5. So you know, he's a guy that I think that if you just looked at the numbers alone, you definitely would want to get some action, you know, get some exposure to him in your lineup. So Bregman's another guy that I will also have interest in. But yeah, I feel like it's another pay up spot for me. So I think I'm just going to go with Rendon for the most part and keep that correlation going with Zimmerman and Howie Kendrick for me on the Washington side. So that's probably where I'm going to end up going at third. But I think that there's, these other plays are also worth it in the higher price tiers. So, yeah. Anyone else here you want to mention at third, Travis?
No, yeah, I think that's it. Again, it's probably a pay-up spot. And, you know, if I'm paying cheap, it's Yandy Diaz against a lefty. He's been a guy I've been playing like all week, and he's been crushing. So, yeah, I think it's, you know, Chris Bryant too. I mean, this feels like a spot where we record this late at night and the run total's not out yet. And we should be talking about the Cubs more, and we're not, right? I don't know. It feels like it, right? Like, because I don't know. Like,
Chris Bryant against a lefty. I mean, like, it's like.
No, of course. I know we have. But I don't know, man. I'm just like, I feel like that run total. Like, what's your guess on that run total? I don't know if you want to guess it, like, for the viewers or whatnot. I don't know. I'm trying to guess what it's going to be. I feel like it's going to be at least 5.5. Am I wrong? Like,
yeah, but even if it is, Travis, I mean, like, a lot of these lefty bats get kind of suppressed or at least, you know, affected. I'm not saying Rizzo is useless. I'm not saying that, you know, he's useless against the lefty, but. You know, he's not as solid as you want him to be at this price tag against the lefty. And John Jay against the lefty, that's gone. So he's probably not even going to be in the lineup.
I don't know. Rizzo's the guy I'm not worried about. And then there's all these righties, right? There's Ian Happ, there's Javi Baez, Zobrist. Again, they're not like, you know, Chris Bryant. There's not a ton of sexy names, and people just won't want to click on them. And if the wind's blowing out, it's a huge run total.
Well,
you just know
today.
how that Wrigley wind is, man. I mean, it's going to be 80 degrees. Like, I don't know. It's just, it's just one of those things I've kind of like been looking at more and more and just thinking about. So I don't know. It just seems like something that. The wheels are turning and telling me, you know, especially if I see that run total come out, it's huge. I'm definitely probably going to be loading up on them.
I mean, that happened today. They had a decent matchup today against Lucas Sims, or yesterday, rather. And the Cubs put up 14 runs, you know, and they weren't as high owned as they should have been. And it was because not only was the lineup not posted until closer to lock, there was also not a run total. So until later, and you know, towards lock. So I think that definitely affected a lot of decisions that were made. So, yeah, I think we could talk about the Cubs more if you want. I think that they're definitely in a good spot, and we should clarify that. And again, on Twitter, if we feel like when the run total comes out and the lineup comes out, we'll definitely be posting things for you guys and letting you know which guys we like out of that lineup. So, but yeah, let's move on to shortstop here. You know, shortstop is not the deepest position, so to speak, but. We'll jump in and go right with one of the guys you just mentioned from this Cubs lineup. I think Javier Baez is in a good spot here. I think he's certainly a good play. His lefties well has shown some pop in his bat throughout the season. You know, and he's available on both slates, so that's good. Yeah, I think Baez is certainly in play here. I also like I would like some Jorge Polanco here against Ian Kennedy. I think that he's certainly in play. Your boy Eduardo Escobar, Travis, went off today. He's probably in play here, too. He's shortstop eligible on DraftKings. Bregman is also shortstop eligible on DraftKings, so keep that in mind. If you want to find a way to get him in and you can't get him in at third, you can get him in at shortstop on DraftKings. Now, I'm seeing reports about Carlos Correa coming back. Let me just make sure. Let me take a look at that. Travis, you go ahead and talk about your shortstop plays here as I dive into this and see what I could find.
Yeah, I know he's like close to coming back, but yeah, I don't know if I'll play him first game back or whatnot. But I mean, against a guy like Flexen, of course, that would make some sense. And maybe people don't play him, right? Maybe he's got a depressed price tag on some sites. I'm feeling at least 3,900. But yeah, I think Javi Baez is a good play. Definitely a guy I would have some interest in here for like a, you know, a home run bat that you might be able to get exposure to. On FanDuel, I think it's kind of like, man, Marwin Gonzalez, hopefully he's in the lineup and hopefully gets like a decent lineup spot. He's probably going to bat like highest fifth, I'm assuming. Let's see what we have on the lineup page. Hang on one second. I saw him in the doubleheader. He had he's batting fifth, was he? Oh yeah, well think about it. You're right. If Correa is back, Marwin's probably not playing. So yeah, I don't know. If Marwin's in at 2.7K, I think I have interest in him. Yeah, so I think it depends. Yeah, it depends on what they're doing with Correa and whatnot. But if he's in for 2.7, definitely have to have interest in him at the price tag. Other than that, like the cheap options, there's not a lot I love. Again, it's another spot where it looks like I might be paying up a little higher, I think. I'm curious if like a guy like Jonathan VR maybe bats higher up in the lineup, but maybe you have some interest in him. You know, a guy like Freddie Galvis against Urena, who's not that great. Yeah, it's one of those spots where I feel like I'm just going to get my hands going to get forced to pay up. Maybe I pay up for a Trey Turner against a lefty, Francisco Lindor in a good spot. And, you know, maybe I just pay up for a Polanco, but Escobar makes some sense too. Escobar on DraftKings, he's not on shortstop eligible on FanDuel. But yeah, I it's not the greatest position, but I think there's guys towards the top you maybe sprinkle in, or you kind of just get exposure here and there. But there's no like play I'm just like, yeah, I want to go all in on, right, Josh?
Yeah, well, here's the thing about Marwin. I'm trying to figure out how they're going to handle it too. And Korea is coming back. He's activated tomorrow, by the way. We don't know if he's going to be in the starting lineup or not. But if he is, I think that the way that Houston rotates their outfield around, we probably could see Marwin play some outfield. He definitely has the ability to play the outfield as well. He used to be outfield eligible on DraftKings. So with that utility ability he has in the field, I think that we could see him in the outfield and still see him in the lineup. And 2.7K on FanDuel is just way too cheap to get exposure to a 5.85 run total. So if he's in the lineup, definitely get yourself some Marwin Gonzalez. Correa, I'm not going to touch at these price tags. 3.9 on FanDuel, 5.2 on DraftKings. Coming off an injury, just not, you know, I'll take the wait and see approach with him here. Let's let him get back on track. Trea Turner, as you mentioned, another guy who just came back from injury. Price really high. I don't know if I'm going to have a lot of exposure to him, but like I said, Javier Baez I really do like a lot. I think that he's going to be one of my favorite plays. And if I'm paying up, I'm probably just going to pay up for Tim Beckham at home against a lefty. We know that he hits lefties well. It's just what he does. And has kind of had a reemergence in Baltimore and, you know, in that leadoff spot since leaving Tampa Bay. So really makes a world of a difference when you take a guy out of a field like Tropicana and put him somewhere like Baltimore. So Beckham's probably going to be my top option. And then if I'm looking for value, probably going to end up just going with Javier Baez. But Travis, who's your top play at shortstop then?
Man, it's tough. It's not like a guy I'm like in love with. It's like a top play. It's not a position I love, but we'll go with Javier Baez. Why not? I like him as a home run guy. We'll take a shot in the dark with him, and hopefully he can get it done for us. But I don't love shortstop. It's definitely not a spot I like. If I have the money, though, you tell me I have the money. I think Francisco Lindor, as a cash play, right? He's a guy that can just do it in a bunch of different ways, and it's good cheap Indians, or not cheap Indians, but it's good Indians exposure at a position that we don't love, and I always don't mind getting exposure to Indians. So I'll say Lindor and Javier Baez are my one and two. How about that?
Yeah, that works out. I'd say Baez and Beckham for me. So there we are. All right, let's go to the outfield, Travis. Last position here to cover. You go ahead, kick us off. Where are you looking in the outfield?
Yeah, and I think, I don't know if you want to like take a moment and mention, I've been looking at a lot of the FanDuel stuff, but on DraftKings, no secret, I kind of like the Angels again, and I think this is a time to maybe go back and kind of mention some guys. I don't know if you forgot to mention anyone. Obviously, Coors, like there's good plays there that we can obviously play, right? We didn't talk about Zach Godley earlier. If you're talking about DraftKings, right, I don't know, Josh. I don't know if you want to touch on Zach Godley. I know you said some stuff earlier about him. I'm not going to touch him in Coors, but I think we feel like we should take a moment to just go back real quick before we hit the outfield and mention that. What did you think about Godley earlier? What did you kind of tell me? Let the viewers know.
Oh, I said that Godley and Marquez are both pretty decent pitchers, and they both are used to pitching in hitters' environments and trying to keep the ball low and kind of trying to neutralize that setting. So even with the high run totals, I said I just don't feel overly comfortable paying up for a lot of these bats in this game. So that's why I haven't mentioned a lot of the Coors bats. Oh, and you're talking about what I said about Godley. Well, I said Godley just seems to not be able to, I feel like a lot of his peripherals are kind of catching up. And his hard contact has just gone up through the roof in his last few starts. So there's definitely something going on with him. I'm not exactly sure what it is or what to pinpoint. It's definitely not just BABIP not falling in his favor. He's not just getting unlucky. He's getting hit, and I don't know why he's getting hit, but it's enough to where I don't want to play him, but I don't know if it's enough to where I want to target him. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, that I get it. I don't think Coors is what I'm going to touch. I think what I'm going to be all over is the Angels again for sure. Just to kind of to segue into the outfield, right? To kind of talk about the outfield again. Man, I'm going to love going Trout and Upton here against a guy like Martin Perez. And it's going to be fun. Obviously, other guys maybe going to cheap Maldonado or going to a guy like Pujols. I like at first base for sure. He's been hitting the ball real well and gets a lefty. But sign me up for that outfield, that Angels outfield here. I think they're in such a good spot here against Martin Perez in this hot Texas weather, 90 degrees, man. Mike Trout's got to be the top play on the slate, right? If you have the money for him, get him in there, of course, on DraftKings. He can't on FanDuel, but Love him. Love Justin Upton too. He's another guy I would definitely be getting exposure to. You know, right lefty spot. Just a fantastic matchup for him. So I'm definitely loading up on that Angels outfield for sure. Yeah, it doesn't feel like a day I'm gonna play Coors. I think I'm gonna pass on it. Like even the outfield, I'm just like not guys I'm really super interested in. I just, those pitchers are, they pitch, they're kind of like efficient enough pitchers where I think the game could maybe be a more of a low scoring affair. But if you're telling me Coors ownership goes under own Josh on DraftKings, maybe you get exposure to like Coors on DraftKings and then go over to FanDuel and then play whatever stack you like over there instead, right? That's kind of a route you can take too on slate. So but we'll move back on. I'll kind of break down the outfield like I did yesterday. So I kind of like doing this, going like to each outfield one by one and kind of giving my thoughts. So if I'm going to stay away from the Detroit outfield completely, that's a pass. The Cleveland outfield, not in love with them, but like, you know, against Chad Bell, like if you want to go like a guy like Brandon Guyer, I think he just makes a ton of sense here. Gets a matchup against Bell that makes sense against Chad Bell. He's a lefty, so you definitely want to get exposure to Brandon Guyer against lefties. You know, he gets a really good lineup spot, so he could be a cheap option you go to on this slate for sure. Moving on to the Philadelphia Miami game, Giancarlo Stanton, right? Like he just hits anyone. He hit Nola today. I'm sure he'll be able to hit Jake Thompson. If you want to roster him, right? If you have the money, go for it. It's just a matter of if you want to make that decision or not. If you have it, go for it. But I don't know if I'm going to have the money for it. Doesn't seem like a spot where I might pay up for some other bats instead. But of course, he's a good play. I don't know if I'm going to go with Hoskins. He ended up getting hurt. I don't know if he's going to be playing. He has a injury with a hand. He got hit in the hand. So don't know if he'll be in the lineup. But if Hoskins and Nick Williams are in the lineup, I love that mini stack always. And against a guy like Urena, who doesn't get a ton of swing and misses, I think that makes sense. That Toronto Baltimore game, this is a spot where I don't love the outfielders in Toronto that much. Maybe like a Jose Bautista against a Tillman, but I normally like to attack Tillman, but this doesn't seem like the right spot here. This just seems like there's better spots today. And going like a guy like Adam Jones against a lefty like Brett Anderson makes sense. Mark Trumbo, I think the Baltimore outfield is in play, but it's not a team that I'm super, they seem like one of those teams that kind of misses the cut for me, but they maybe shouldn't miss the cut, right? Like I'm kind of scared to fade Baltimore, but I might end up fading them. That's kind of how it might end up going down. That Cincinnati-Pittsburgh game, I'm going to pass on both the outfielders against Trevor Williams and Sal Romano. It just doesn't seem like outfielders I really want. Here's the spot where I want the outfielders, right? Like sign me up for some of these Houston bats. Give me some George Springer. Give me some Reddick. If I get Marwin Gonzalez, I could throw him. He's a shortstop eligible. If he's in the outfield, that like that makes sense. But Springer and Reddick are like the two that I really like a lot here against Flexit and make a ton of sense. If you have the money, right, Eddie Rosario and Byron Buxton, they get a fly ball pitcher and Ian Kennedy, and they've been absolutely crushing the ball, so I don't hate that. It's just problem is you can stomach those price tags, and I feel like a lot of people feel the same way with the price tags. But yeah, and it's the run total's high against a guy like Ian Kennedy who gets hits hard. I think it makes sense to be playing some of those Minnesota outfielders that people might not want to play. But yeah, moving on. If you stack up the Rays, they get a guy like Giolito. Steven Souza's a guy who's been crushing righties all year, and you get those lefties. Don't hate doing that. Like a Corey Dickerson, Kevin Kiermaier. I don't mind getting exposure to them. I'm gonna stay away from that Chicago White Sox outfield because it's not that great. Same with the Washington outfield. I guess you go Howie Kendrick, Josh. I get it. He's good against lefties and all. FanDuel is only 3K, so that makes sense. But I don't want to pay that DraftKings price tag of 4.6. Not a fan of doing that. That's just not something I like to do. I know Ryan Braun is cheap around the industry, and again, it's a guy like Edwin Jackson. Like if you can get him for 3.8K on DraftKings and 3K, you're just paying down for like a talented player that should not be that price tag. So I think you can buy low on that. That's perfectly fine to do. I mean, if we get Ryan Braun against some Washington bullpen too, that's always great. The Washington bullpen is not one to be scared of. And then yes, I'll stay away from the Atlanta outfield, but then there's some of these Chicago bats, right? I probably, don't get Schwarber against a lefty, but we'll get like a, Zobrist. We'll probably get, maybe even like an Almora for cheap if you need a cheap bat to fit in all the other bats that you're getting in there. I'll probably just look at some of these Cub outfielders if the wind is, definitely blowing out and it being 80 degrees. I think you always have to have interest because some of those, fly balls to the warning track could easily go over the fence. So, yeah, that's kind of it for me for outfield. Josh, how about you?
I really like Adam Jones here on the slate going against the lefty. I think that he's a great play. Really like these Baltimore power righties. I think Beckham, Machado, Scope, Adam Jones, Mancini, like all these guys have the ability to go yard, all the way down the lineup. So you know, all the way, I'd say 1 through 8 is all in play here in this Baltimore lineup. So definitely will have interest in the outfielders in Baltimore. Love the Houston outfielders as well, George Springer, Josh Reddick. If Beltran's in the lineup, I mean, I know he sat yesterday, did the whole doubleheader, but he said his foot felt good and he felt fine. So if he does play, he's 3.5K on DraftKings, and he's only 2.2. He's dirt cheap on FanDuel. So if he's in the lineup for 2.2 and you get some cheap stock in this high run total against Chris Flexen, I think you should certainly try to get some Beltran to your lineups. It opens up a lot of cap for you to get some of the bigger bats in. So I do like him a lot if he's in the lineup, and I do like all the Houston outfielders as well. George Springer seems to be back on track, so time to start buying some stock in him. Howie Kendrick, as I mentioned earlier, I don't mind his DraftKings price tag as much as you. I think that the numbers against lefties are solid enough, and if you put that with the park upgrade and the fact that you know, he might get some kind of lineup bump, we'll see. I know that Trea Turner has been leaning off since he's been back, and it's understandable, but if Howie Kendrick is, you know, in that lineup, in, you know, anywhere from the like the 1 through 5 spot, definitely don't mind paying that price tag for him against a lefty in this hitting environment. So definitely like him a lot. I don't mind these Minnesota outfielders. I think that Buxton and Rosario and Kepler, all three of them, are in play. Kepler might get a lineup bump going against a righty here, so keep that, you know, in mind as you're looking at the lineups. And I, you know, I'm trying to figure out how to handle this Cubs-Braves game. Like, I think Zobrist, you know, Zobrist is certainly in play. Almora, if he's in the lineup, he's in play. But I think those are more of just like correlation plays. Like, if you have a bunch of Cubs bats, you want to complete them, those are guys you could go with. And neither of them are particularly expensive, so nice value plays there too. Now, if we're talking about the DraftKings slate, yeah, Trout, Upton, both in play. Love them a lot here. On the flip side of that, I think Carlos Gomez is definitely in play. He's come back and he's been hitting the ball well, so want to get some exposure to him. And if I was going to play anyone from this Coors game, it would probably be some like David Peralta and J.D. Martinez. And on the Colorado side, maybe just some Cargo because he's so cheap. He's 3.5K on DraftKings, so... if you're looking for some cheap exposure to this Coors game and you get, you know, you want that lefty righty matchup, I think Cargo is the way to go. But that's where I'm at outfield. I'm pretty much just going to correlate to the rest of my lineup wherever I go and just kind of fill up from there. So I think there's plenty of bats you could go with. It just comes down to where you want to construct your roster. But anything else you want to mention here in the outfield, Travis?
No, yeah, I think that's it. Definitely a ton of options to play, but yeah, I think I got a good idea where I want to go with it for sure. Josh, how do we get the people our top three outfielders on the slate? I know it's a tough decision to make, but who are the top three you definitely have the most interest in?
I'll go with Adam Jones, George Springer, and Howie Kendrick. How about you, Travis? And that's the FanDuel slate. Are we including the DraftKings slate? Because if we are, that Mike Trout makes the
list. Yeah, let's include DraftKings.
Okay, yeah, we'll split the slate. So on FanDuel, it's going to be the three guys I just mentioned. It's going to be Adam Jones, George Springer, and Howie Kendrick. And if we're talking about DraftKings, it's going to be Mike Trout, Adam Jones again, and We'll go with Upton. We'll double down on the Angels outfield. So those are the three I'd have there. How about you?
Yeah, that's what I was gonna do. I was gonna Mike Trout, Upton, and then Springer as my DraftKings outfield. If I had to go, we'll go with the FanDuel outfield. Take off those Angels. Basically, I'm still gonna go with Springer. Right, I love him here for 3,700. I think he makes just a ton of sense here. I also like going with Ryan Braun. He's 3K. Right, it's just too cheap for Ryan Braun. I'm not saying I'm going 100% Edwin Jackson or anything. He might be a guy I sprinkle in my tournaments. Right, don't love him completely, but just that price tag on Ryan Braun's ridiculous. Same on DraftKings. Right. It's way too cheap for a guy like Ryan Braun. So I'm going to get some Ryan Braun exposure for sure there for cheap. And then last guy, cheating would be saying Giancarlo Stanton. So I'm not going to do that. You know, we'll go with let's go with Eddie Rosario. He's sure going to be getting a pretty decent lineup spot there for the Twins, and you know, he's got some huge home run upside. He's been a guy that's shown. I think he's hit. Has he hit three home runs twice this year? I think he's done it twice. I know he at least did it once, but he's got some huge pop and probably batting cleanup. And people just don't want to pay that price tag, so don't hate doing that. Making sure to get Byron Buck or not Byron Buxton, making sure to get Eddie Rosario in your Twins stacks, and just as a nice outfield one off. So yeah, we'll go with that as our as the outfield plays for me on each site.
All right, very cool. So let's move on to our stack of the day here on the slate. Travis, kick us off. What are you looking at for your stack of the day?
Yeah, so I think I'm going to give you two. I'm going to give you a DraftKings one. I'll give you the Angels, right? I just want to go back to the well. It's kind of one of those games. I saw this series coming up with it being 90 degrees in Texas and with them trading my guy Justin Upton over. I was like, you know, I'm just going to play this probably every single day. And it's a spot against Martin Perez, right? And I kind of, when I first looked at the calendar, I was like, I think Martin Perez will be on Sunday. That'll be fun. So, yeah, definitely getting a load up against Martin Perez, a load up on these righties here. I think it makes a ton of sense. So that'll be my DraftKings one. And then for FanDuel, I don't know. I feel like I have to go with them. I feel like I have to go with the Cubs, right? I kind of like hijack the show in between and kind of make a point with, hey, you know, looks like the wind could be blowing out. You know, it's hotter there. And, you know, this is a guy, the Max Fried, that people maybe just don't look into. And, you know, he's like a seventh round pick, and he's had some really bad numbers so far. And, you know, he's had some okay numbers in AAA and whatnot, but he's still a young pitcher and obviously probably going to get blown up here. So with the wind blowing out, that's something that's not going to be in his favor. So, yeah, maybe people look the name Max Fried and don't even want to play him or look at him because he's got a cool name or something, who knows. And maybe we get the Cubs owned. I don't know, because maybe we don't get the run total for a while too. It's one of those things. I think this happened last week, right? Like the Cubs run line didn't come out, and then like I was shocked at the Cubs ownership. So I don't know, maybe we get them under owned here, and if the wind is blowing out, and I don't know, I think the Cubs are an interesting team here, and people might just want to pay up those price tags. Like it's tough to pay up for those guys, right? It's tough to pay up for a Rizzo against a lefty for 4,900. No one wants to do that, but Anthony Rizzo can hit lefties very well. The numbers are there. So I don't know. I feel like because I hijacked the show part of the way through, Josh, I feel like I have to say the Cubs stack. So we'll go with the Cubs stack as my stack of the day. What about you?
Yeah, I think on DraftKings, I'll go with the Angels stack as well. And if we're going on FanDuel, just going to keep true to where my roster construction is going. It's going to be the Astros. That's going to be my stack of the day on FanDuel. So yeah, so that's it. We did it. We did the show. It's our last MLB Sunday we'll be doing for you guys. Like I said, really, really appreciate you guys sticking with us through the season and listening to us. We've done this since the beginning of the season, Travis. You know, we've done the whole full MLB season so far. So it's been really cool to have the opportunity to do this for you guys and really enjoy doing it. We'll still be here on Saturdays, like I said, but this is the last MLB Sunday because next Sunday it's football Sunday, so you guys better enjoy that. It's going to be a great time. Travis, anything you want to say here before we close out?
Oh, no, yeah, just thanking you guys for having us and letting us talk to you guys about MLB every day. It's definitely been fun, and yeah, we'll still be back on Saturdays at least. So the season's not over yet, but yeah, stay tuned. We got, man, I'm kind of, you know, it's bittersweet, right? No more podcasts on Sundays, but that means NFL is here, so I'm pretty excited about that.
Yeah, and then we'll be back on for basketball. We'll be back for NBA for you guys on the weekend, so that'll be a good time. But yeah, go ahead, give us both a follow on Twitter. You keep up with us over there. So, you know, for every Sunday from now on, if you want some MLB advice, you can feel free to shoot over to us on Twitter. You can follow me at Real Joshua Giant. You can follow Travis at Travis Mangone. That's at Travis Mangone. Give us both follows and shoot over any questions. We'll still be here to help you guys. We're still here. So, yeah, hope you guys enjoy your Sunday. And last Sunday before football, so that's exciting. It's going to be a good time. And we'll still see you guys next weekend on Saturday. For my co-host, Travis Mangone, I'm Joshua Giant. Peace out, Grinders. We'll be right back.